Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. You know, we've continued to think about ways that we can bring whole mental health to our lives. We have so much bombarding us. We are often in isolation. We have illness hanging over our heads. The nation seems to be in a turmoil. We have natural disasters on every side. And we've been going through this book called Seven Ways to Choose Healing by Stephen Arterburn. And I said today we would talk about that those final pieces. The first of the final pieces is to serve others. When you feel that wave of depression coming over you, find some way to serve others. And then the second way is perseverance. But we're still working on looking at ourselves to see how we can serve others. So I said, let's go through this little inventory. Do you have a talent that is appealing to others? And it can be as simple as an infectious laugh, a smile, a sense of humor, the ability to tell jokes. Yes or no? Do you have a strength that stands out? Are you good at organizing? Or maybe you're good at seeing a picture from different angles or an issue that you can help somebody grapple with. Do you have an interest that is unique? Maybe you love pets, and maybe you have snakes and lizards that you could take and share with others. Do you have a personality trait that stands out? Is there something you do that is outstanding? Is there a desire to do something that has stayed with you for years? Do you have more of something than most people? Is there an area of your life you feel is wasted? Is there someone in your life that continues to ask you about getting involved in helping others because you have an expertise or a resource that they could use? Have you experienced something that would be devastating for others? Have you come through it and have wisdom you could share and would help others to go through it better? All of these questions can help us reflect and think about how we can help others. It might be as simple as going next door and taking the trash out for an elderly couple. It might be as simple as calling someone on the phone and saying, you know, just checking on you to see how you are, or texting. Nowadays, we have these virtual ways of checking on people and giving them words of comfort, reading a verse to them over the phone, or texting them a verse. So when you feel yourself sinking down into the depths of depression, serve. And tomorrow we'll talk about the second key, which is persevere. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. We continue to ask healing for our loved ones. And Lord, we hold up to a family whose daughter is still in ICU with COVID and on a respirator. Please send your healing hand upon her. We pray for our nation and the leaders there. Protect them and give them wisdom. And Lord, I thank you because I know you're coming soon. I'm real excited about that. And I would have everyone saved in your kingdom, Lord. Thank you so much. Give us a great day serving you. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! So today we're going to do cotton ball painting. I think we've done a little bit of, you know, tipping your finger in paint and doing, you know, fingerprint painting like when we did our snow scenes. But some kids just don't like to put their fingers in the paint. And this is a real good alternative. You need cotton balls. You need clothespin clips that you can hold the cotton ball with so your kids' fingers don't have to get into the paint. Now, one of the things that I put on my Family Fun Crafts was how to do a heart. But you could do this with anything. But sticking with this heart theme, you would take a shape of a heart on a piece of paper maybe that you folded so it will be a card. And then you just have pink, red, and white. And the child just puts that heart down first, and then they paint all around it. And when they lift the heart, it's nice and white. And you can put a name in there or a message in there. So that would be a cotton ball heart. But you could do this. Let's say you wanted to have, it was St. Patrick's Day, and you wanted to put a shamrock there. You could do that and then put green, light green and white around it. And it would look really, really cool. Or if you wanted to put a star shape, so any of your basic shapes you could use and then paint around it. And when you lift the basic shape, you have a nice white space there to put your message. So it's in Family Fun Crafts on in that board in Pinterest, and it's MR Gamblin 2 is my call name for Pinterest. Whatever you do, have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. We've been talking about how to use technology in our homeschooling, and we've gone every, you know, we started with using Google Classroom and Google Slides. And I just wanted to talk about an app that I put on my phone, and I used this a lot in my chemistry course called Crash Course Chemistry. It's great for your high school students. In my app, I have 48 decks of cards, and I have 47 videos, and it covers almost every single topic that I've wanted to cover in chemistry. And it's right on my phone. So even if you haven't been able to get your child a tablet, if you have a smartphone, they can use this. It's a helpful tool if they're taking chemistry from somebody else too. It's just a great digital chemistry. I don't know if I can get it on my Pinterest site, but if I do, I'll put it in my Pinterest. I have a chemistry section. Questions parents ask. This is such an important question. Ever since my 8-year-old little boy has had COVID, he cannot sleep. He has anxiety. He says his stomach hurts or he just can't sleep. The whole family is sleep deprived. We have a bedtime schedule, bath, book, brush, teeth, and we are all in bed by 11 and he's still awake. He falls asleep in weird places throughout the day. Well, the interesting thing is I have students that since they have had COVID do the same thing. They'll fall asleep in the reading loft or they will fall asleep at their desk. And then their parents say, you know, don't let them sleep because they're not sleeping at night. So I try not to let them sleep, but yet my grandma's heart wants them to not get sick again. And I have a few parameters. In the morning, if they come in and they usually get to school a half hour before, if they fall asleep, I don't wake them up until we go to recess. So then they can function throughout the day, but they should be ready for sleep for sure by 11 o'clock at night. And then I have my younger students, and I only have very few students. In my whole classroom, I have 7. And so my younger set's 3. And I give them a half hour rest after lunch recess. If they fall asleep during that time, I again let them sleep until it's STEM time. So they can sleep through handwriting time. They can sleep through, center time. But then I don't want them to miss too much of centers. And we're very active. So again, I'm imagining if I don't let them sleep more than an hour, they should for sure go to sleep by 11 o'clock at night. I myself am an insomniac. So I have studied, I have read, and I have done research. And this I know. A child needs about 4 hours of deep sleep a night. An adult only needs 2. Then the rest of it is lighter sleep. We still need it. And like my mom would tell me when I was little, if you lay real still, your body will think it's sleeping. Well, to some degree it does, but you're just not in that really deep unconscious sleep. Also, viruses have a lingering effect. They really do cause the brain to become very busy and active. And so you can look at different supplements. For me, melatonin, I tried it. It made me very depressed. And Benadryl, I tried that. It made me feel so groggy the next day. But I found a little sleep aid that if I cut it in a fourth of a piece, it would help me. And so I took that for a while. I don't take it anymore. But it helped me get through that sleepless time. And you might find something. Maybe you can give them a children's Benadryl. Just something to relax because they just need to get out of that. You become so stressed about not sleeping that that in itself keeps you awake. So you need something, and God has given us things.
Here we are at the start of another Kids Bible Club meeting, and I'm excited. You guys are doing such a great job of finding wonderful Bible texts to share. Tonight it's Lily's turn, right, Lily?
Whatever you say, Pastor Perez, I have my text ready.
Good. Let's hear it.
Okay, my favorite text is found in the book of Job, chapter 5, verse 19. Here's what it says. From 6 calamities, he will rescue you. In 7, no harm will befall you.
Interesting. If I remember my Bible correctly, those words were spoken to Job by his friend Eliphaz. Eliphaz was attempting to encourage Job, right?
I guess so. I just like them.
Lily, are you having some calamities in your life?
Henry's my brother. What do you think?
Hey, I'm a good brother.
Oh, I see. You need to know that no matter what Henry does, God will rescue you?
Something like that.
I'll have you know that I'm a lot better than I used to be.
Really? How?
Well, I make fun of you a lot less, I tease you a lot less, and when was the last time I put something gooey in your coat pocket?
Tuesday.
See? I'm cutting back.
You know, Henry, you might want to take it easy on Lily. After all, you are her big brother. She needs you to protect her, not bug her all the time.
Okay, no more gooey stuff, but beyond that, no promises.
Don't worry, Pastor Perez. I'm sure that whatever Henry does to me, there's a Bible text for it. I'll just keep looking.
Good attitude, Lily.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Thank you for staying with us for the second part of our interview. Let's take up where we left off yesterday. Welcome back. I am here with Michael. He's my executive producer for the show, and we're talking about New Year's resolutions. In fact, he totally thinks it's ridiculous to make New Year's resolutions.
That is for sure. Nobody wants to keep them. They start out with gangbusters, and they make all these resolutions, and they try to keep on them a month, 2 months later, that they're done with them.
So we have been married 20-some years, and every year I make New Year's resolutions.
Year she breaks them.
And I try to convince him to make them too. New Year's resolutions have improved my life immensely. I move more. I drink more water. I try to eat slowly.
Well, that is one resolution you have kept for years and years. She has this saying, lie food at every meal.
Yes, that started out as a New Year's resolution, live food at every meal. Live whole fresh food at every meal. Doesn't mean that I don't eat cooked stuff too, but I have live whole food at every meal. And I feel like it's, you know, benefited me because I made that resolution and I tried to the best of my ability to stick to it. And now coming off from, I probably have been doing this for at least 20 years.
You've been doing it ever since I can remember.
Yes. And I think it, you know, I totally believe that it's a great simple resolution.
That's true, because your body is a wonderful healer in itself if you give it what it needs. And that's your life food that you're talking about. So we're a strong advocate of eating more healthfully. And, of course, I am a big junk food junkie myself. So that's one of my resolutions, if I was going to make a resolution.
Okay, so we're getting somewhere with our debate show here. We're debating to make resolutions or not. And my husband, Michael, has lived his life against making New Year's resolutions. It doesn't mean that he doesn't try to do healthful things and, you know, conduct himself in a responsible manner, but he just doesn't like to make a resolution. I, on the other hand, have been blessed by making resolutions, and I'm going to think back to one of the resolutions I made, which was to move more. I don't like the idea of being on a treadmill. But there's little things that I've done, like Michael made for me a desk that I can stand up, and so not be sitting down all the time. And that's been a huge blessing, because when you're a commuter, you need to have the time to stand up.
Well, she neglected to say it's on wheels, so she rolls it around to the different students as she's teaching them. And so that she's able to move more instead of sitting at her desk working on her computer.
Yes, and technology. I think I need to make a New Year's resolution about technology, but I'm debating whether to share these, because if I share them on the air, I am really making myself accountable to all my listeners to do what I said I was going to do. Okay, another New Year's resolution is how we interact with each other. And there is probably that personality in your family that just grates on your nerves. Well, one good resolution is to figure out a way, or just to say you're going to have the soft answer. My New Year's resolution is to have a soft answer instead of getting all reactive to what they say or do. I'm going to have a soft answer. Now, that's a very admirable resolution. And yeah.
And one that can be very difficult to fulfill as well, too.
Yes, but just making an effort. Now, another resolution that I made that was helpful to me is eating slower, because it's so easy in this rush, rush, rush lifestyle is to eat too fast.
I remember back when I was working for the Review and Herald, we only had a half hour lunchtime. And the time you got your lunch, sat down and ate it, you just crammed it down your throat. And that was a hard habit for me to change, is to eat slower. And we have people we know that we were trying to encourage them to eat slower, enjoy your food instead of inhaling it. Because what is it? Your body needs, is it 15, 20 minutes before it even recognizes for it's full? So if you're shoving it down so fast that your body doesn't have time to recognize it, you're going to overeat and constantly keep overeating and overeating.
Yes, and I see these people working out, strenuously working out, and then sit down to a meal and just plow through that. Before I even get to sit down, they've eaten their whole plate of food. Now, they're probably ravenous for a number of reasons, but if you can eat slower, it's an easy mechanism. There's a couple of things that your stomach needs. It needs bulk, and that's where live whole food gives you such a great sensation of fullness, because you can't help but feel pretty full even just eating an orange. And then eating slower, you have to have the time. And then you do need the nutrients. It needs to be nutritious, not just empty calories. Oh, well, this is not a show about dieting. It's about resolutions. And just because the number one resolution in the United States is dieting.
Now, that is one thing I will never make a resolution on, is to diet. I've yet to find any diet that works without putting the common sense into it first.
Yes, you're right. Well, I promised my listeners I'd share my New Year's resolution. And my New Year's resolution is not only to follow that old saying my mom always said, if you don't have something good to say, don't say it at all. I want to follow that about the people I love the most.
Now, that is going to be, for me, it would be a very hard thing to do, not to try to be honest and speak what I feel is the truth. Now, is that different than what you're saying?
If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. So it doesn't mean that I might not be thinking it, but I don't want to say it. It doesn't mean that we don't have an opinion. It doesn't mean that we don't, you know, God gave us the spirit of discernment, but it means that we're not going to propagate negativity. We're going to be positive.
Okay, to expand on that a little bit, let me ask you this. You got the friend that they've got body odor. They've got, is it complaining to them to tell them that they please take a more regular bath, change your clothes, and that kind of stuff? What are you referring to as not speaking negative to a person? I'd like some clarification on that.
Well, let's start with politics. Everyone is a critic of the leaders in the country. What good purpose does it do to engage in a negative manner about that? I think it's a waste of energy, so I'm not going to do that. Let's look at our, you know, religious, our church members, our church leadership. You know, they don't always do what we think they should do, but what good does it do, really, to go around criticizing? Even Jesus and his examples only told the Sadducees and Pharisees directly to their face. You are a brood of vipers, you are a whited sepulcher. But he didn't badmouth them to the disciples, except to warn them, you know. And I think that we need to be really careful. It's a waste of our emotional energy to be fault-finding. And so that's my resolution, is to try to make sure I'm not fault-finding.
That, I feel, is a very good resolution to make. If I was going to make one, that'd probably be one that I would make. But still, I probably won't succeed at it. So why make it? That's my point. You know, why make all of these? Now, I can make... What if you call them, you're making resolution suggestions or New Year's suggestions?
Okay, a New Year's suggestion.
Instead of resolution.
Okay, well, this is a good way to conclude this show. I will make a New Year's resolution and you will make a New Year's suggestion. And we have to close the show with a serious note about God's thoughts towards us. So I hold up to you that wonderful text, Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, not to harm you or hurt you, but to prosper you. And we do. We wish that for you in this coming year. We have one last thing to say, and that is,
God bless. You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.